Okay, let's move on to the third segment of our program this morning, and now we're taking a look at some of the questions that has come through. Mufti Saab, a question here very interestingly says, the wife of the deceased used some money of the deceased after he passed away to build a well on his name and gave some money to the grandchildren. Can the wife do this? If not, should it be subtracted from the share of the wife?
All assets belong to the deceased upon their demise, form part of the estate, and must be distributed among all surviving heirs at the time of the demise. So no heir of the deceased can unilaterally make use of any asset of the deceased in any way whatsoever without the consent of all the surviving heirs of the deceased. So therefore, if the wife of the deceased built a well as a means of reward for the deceased, or gave money to the grandchildren of the deceased from the deceased estate, the money is used without the consent of the surviving heirs, must be returned to the deceased estate or deducted from the share of the wife, unless they all say, no, no, it's fine, you know what, we don't mind, then it's fine. But if they don't, then it will be from her share.
Okay, this is a very interesting question, and it shows and teaches us the importance of performing our salah regularly, all five on a daily basis. So the question reads, a deceased person passed away and the family is compensating for his missed salah. Is there any difference if the family decide to compensate for it by feeding people instead of giving the fidya amount in charity?
Yes, so the fidya amount is given in charity to the poor, needy zakat recipients to compensate for the deceased masala. If the food is given to compensate for it, then two full meals must be given for each of the masala to the poor and needy to compensate for it, a poor and needy Muslim. And it's not necessary the value of the two full meals must be equivalent to the value of the fidya amount. The value of the two full meals may be any amount, provided that the two full meals satisfy the person. So, you know, there may be a variety of things that you give the person. Some things may be cheaper, some things may be more expensive, but it must fill the person up. So you have to give two meals for one salah.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. A person, a question reads, I had a gap in between my front teeth which closed after using braces. A gap remains at the bottom of the upper front teeth that is no longer level and is abnormal. Is it permissible to file the bottoms of the teeth to level them?
Yes, so the general rule is that one is permitted to file the teeth for corrective purposes, but not for beautification or for adornment. So in this case, as you said, that it is an abnormality, it is a deformation and deformation, and it is something that is hindering perhaps the eating, and that, so that would be allowed to do that corrective surgery.
Okay, a man passed away and had kept valuable items in his possession. A person claims that certain items kept in the safe by the deceased belonged to him and were kept as safekeeping for him. Do the items have to be handed over to him? What is the procedure?
If a person makes a claim against any item that was held in the possession of the deceased at the time of the demise, then you must bring your proof. And the Shari proof is two males, or one male and two females, to testify it, or provide a valid documentation to say that this is it. And if you cannot bring that, then your claim will have no value. So if the family, you know, if the person cannot bring the claim, then the proof, then there's no, then nothing will happen to this. However, if the family wish to resolve the issue with the claimant, they may enter into a settlement agreement with the claimant.
Okay, is there a specific amount of milk that a baby needs to drink to become a foster child? Can a baby drink expressed milk to become a foster child? And what relationship is established thereafter?
The required amount to establish foster relationship, rada'a, is that the child is breastfed to the extent that the milk is swallowed and reaches the stomach during the period of breastfeeding, you know, which is 2 lunar years. And this may be achieved by breastfeeding the child just by 1 or 2 times. The child may suckle directly from the breast of the milk of the mother, or it may be expressed. Both instances would be fine. Once the foster relationship is established and the child is considered as a foster son, daughter, brother, sister, and relationship of mahrams, non-strangers, established between them, accordingly they can never marry each other and therefore do not have to observe hijab from each other or attain, on attaining bulugh. However, a foster child will not inherit from the foster parents, but will inherit from the biological parents.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Mufti Saab, this question reads, the deceased was survived by five grandchildren and left 5 Kruger coins for his grandchildren. He stated that if any of his five grandchildren become hafiz after his demise, then each one must be given one Kruger coin. Is this valid?
So the wasiya by the deceased grandfather in favor of his children is a valid one, because they are not heirs, and a grandfather can make a wasiya for grandchildren. So the value of the coins does not exceed 1/3 of the estate. That is important. If it does exceed, then it will not be fulfilled. So if the deceased grandfather made a bequest that the Kruger coin must be given to any of the surviving five children if they become hafiz, then the executor have the duty to ensure that the deceased bequest is fulfilled, and if they become hafiz, then it will be given to them. In the case where they don't become hafiz, I mean, they have till the end of their life, and you just start learning one verse every day, so it remains there. But if it is that it reached the point where one of them not become a hafiz, then that will go back into the estate and will be distributed amongst the heirs.
Lila money is collected at a masjid for its own purposes. Will it be permissible to use the lila money collected at the masjid for another musalla's purposes, which is coordinated by the same people?
At the time of the collection, if it's made clear that to the donor that the money is donated will be utilized for one masjid only, then it will not be permissible to utilize it for another musalla or another masjid. However, it's made clear that this is just lila money to utilize, you know, for the house of Allah, it would be permissible to utilize it for another place. Such donations should be utilized in accordance with the expectation of the donor. That is important. What is the expectation when they're giving it?
Jazakallah for those were the questions that came through for today.
Let's go for a short break and then we do the
we'll take a look at some business news.
Comments that came through, one saying that if the parents have different views on being parents, then and there's no compromise, what do you advise? So we'll deal with that, inshallah. Another one says, on Sunday, my coffee is recreational as opposed to weekdays, then it's medical. Another one says, full milk in coffee is the best. And then other questions that have come through are of a fiqh nature, inshallah. We look forward to attending to that. One asking that if I only have daughters, how is my wealth distributed? Another one says some Bitcoin companies say they give them capital and will give approximately 42% on return. So we'll talk about that in the future program, inshallah. Let us look at the business news now. Mullah, what do you have for us there?
Okay, Ma, so one of the stories that we have here, good news for South Africans traveling to the U.S. So, you know, many countries are now starting to open for South Africa,
yes,
in particular, other countries as well, because, you know, as the cases across the globe seem to be easing up, and alhamdulillah for that, hopefully we can be totally rid of this. But so for South Africans to travel to the U.S., it will be much easier now. Obviously, you need to be fully vaccinated. So long as you're fully vaccinated, you will be able to travel. Non-vaccinated people, that will be allowed into the U.S. is only U.S. citizens. If you're not a U.S. citizen, then you need to be vaccinated. There are certain conditions that they give, and there are certain exemptions that they will allow non-vaccinated people to arrive within the U.S. Those exceptions include children that are under 18, certain COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial participants, those traveling with medical contraindications, indications to the vaccines, etc. So those are So basically, the article is about being able to travel back to the U.S., those people that want to go there or need to go there. Another interesting article that we come across today, Mufti Sab, South Africa's driver shortage offers truckers an opportunity to grow their income. Here's how much they can earn. Now, this is interesting because we know with the trucking industry, it became very dangerous, especially if they found foreigners driving South African trucks here in South African roads, then they were, you know, the trucks were damaged, and there was a lot of claims that we don't want to see foreigners driving South African trucks. And that has left a huge gap. They say they have estimated that there's about 80,000 vacancies for truck drivers in the country. They obviously need drivers to now fill up these vacancies. And according to them, working for a company here in South Africa, a trucking company, you can earn at least 100,000 rands a year. So the salary, meaning that the salary is also quite good, the vacancies are there, those people that are interested. Mufsab, maybe you can tell us about the UK. They want to impose a tax for people that are, you know, as far as traveling is concerned, there's an air tax. South Africa could be about 175 miles longer from Britain to South Africa, and therefore South Africa could be impacted by the tax.
Yeah, so if you are 5,500 miles or more, you know, less than that, then you don't get affected by this tax. But if you are more than 5,500 miles, which for us, we only exceed the amount by 175 kilometers. And if Pretoria were about 175 kilometers closer to London, things would have been different. So I don't know, is there any way of cutting the distance and bringing the two closer?
I think one suggestion that they gave is maybe because how it works is capital to capital.
Yes.
So if South Africa moves its capital a bit further north,
like Polokwane,
Polokwane then South Africa won't be affected by this tax. So the UK has two tax categories, 2,000 and then over 5,000, 2,000 to 5,000, 500 and 5,000 over. Now they want to implement a third, a third distance category, and South Africa will then fall in the third one, because over 5,500, South Africa is about 5,675. Now, so there might be, the tax might be more. What happens with that is that it affects flights leaving from the UK. So that means British citizens will have to pay an extra tax when they're leaving UK flying to South Africa. That, they think, might hamper them, and they might decide, hey, you know, I'm going to go to South Africa, I'm going to travel more, the tax is going to hit me, it's about 1,600 rand more on a ticket. Maybe let's not fly there. So that is what I'm saying. It will impact South Africa, because then you don't get UK tourists. In South Africa, the most amount of tourists that they get from the entire world is UK. And the UK spends some good pounds here, so it helps the economy as well.
Yes.
You lose that, then you're losing quite a bit.
Then there's another story, Yamala. SA may soon be using new fingerprint technology.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting, because, you know, you do get fingerprint technology, right? Nowadays, you get all the phones and the fingerprint scanner that you get on there. Then even get face recognition. So phones come, you just hold it in front of your face and it recognizes you. And so this technology has been in phones, and it's been on quite a few data systems entering buildings, etc. Now, when it came with this whole COVID thing, the fingerprint is still good. But now what happens is that you're still touching the person coming after you is touching. And then to clean it all the time becomes a bit difficult. So what they want to, the South African company, came up with contactless fingerprint scanning. So you don't have to put your fingerprint onto any device. It can. So what it does is, it's basically got a camera. And what the camera will do is, the camera will first take a picture of your fingerprint, and then it will process it. So it still does the same scanning, but instead of your finger touching the device, the camera takes a picture of your fingerprint, and then it scans that picture. So it's a good thing that they have come up with. It shows how creative men can really be. I don't know when they'll roll it out and start using it.
One more thing that gets me excited, the SA Airlines may give you drinks and food again, but you can't share your in-flight magazine.
Yeah, that's also interesting. What's up now? So now, for 8 months, you could only, on an airline, you could only get bottled water, right? Now it's going to be more, the planes will allow you to have inbound catering, so food and whatever else they serve on there, you'll be allowed to have it. But like you said, the magazine, you can't leave it behind, because somebody else is going to touch it, and then it becomes a bit of a problem. So if you took the inbound magazine, then you got to discard of it.
You take it with you home.
Take it with you home. Or then the airline will have to throw it away.
Yeah. Let's say we leave it for this morning. Jazakumullah khair for listening to the program. Jazakumullah khair. And
Jazakumullah to you, Mufsab. A very interesting discussion. Maybe we can go and sit and have a cup of coffee together.